Northside Today, 90.3 Near FM with Say, Say, Say from Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. Now I'm joined with Stephen Large. He's from Threshold. He's going to be talking about their petition for the Deposit Protection Scheme and also Threshold's response to Budget 2020. Good morning, Stephen. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good.
Yeah, except for the weather. Terrible out there, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrific today. Very miserable. November.
Yes, absolutely. November rain. Stephen, first of all, tell us about Threshold's proposed rent deposit protection scheme and what it's all about.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose this is something that we've been lobbying for a number of years, a number of decades even. The deposit is, I suppose, one of the main disputes that arise in the landlord and tenant relationship, and what we've been looking for over a number of years is that there's a deposit protection scheme set up whereby the deposit is taken out of the landlord and tenant relationship and it's held by an independent third party, for example the RTB, and we feel that this would help people who are renting, because very often when anyone has been renting, when it comes to the end of the tenancy, they often face difficulties in trying to get back their deposit. And then it involves taking a case against the landlord, and that can take a lot of time. And that's time that you don't have when you're desperately trying to find accommodation. So if you have to go out there today and find somewhere new to live, you're going to have to turn up with, at the very least, a month's deposit and a month's rent in advance to secure that property. And that's a lot of money for anyone out there that's listening today. Like the most recent DAF.E report, the average rent in Dublin was over €2,000. So you can imagine if you're going out to get a property today, you're probably going to need around €4,000 just to get a property. And very few people will have that type of money lying around. And so where tenancy is ending and for you to get a new place to rent, you're going to need the deposit. But unfortunately, a lot of people experience difficulties getting back a deposit. And I think one in five of the cases that went to the RTB last year involved cases where a person didn't get back their deposit. And that creates a lot of difficulty for the person. It's a lot of uncertainty. It means that they may lose properties. There's financial implications as well. And in some cases, it actually puts households at risk of being homeless because they don't have the money there to be able to source accommodation. And also, sometimes people may have to turn to money lenders to try and get together the money so they can get a deposit. So we feel that a deposit protection scheme would alleviate a lot of those issues, and it would mean then that deposit is held by an independent party and that it should be returned to the tenant who is the lawful owner of that deposit when their tenancy ends.
Have there been many incidents out there where landlords have not refunded deposits to their tenants without a satisfactory reason?
I suppose one of the main issues that we deal with is in relation to deposit retention, and that's something that has happened for certainly from when I started working the Thresholds a number of years ago. Deposit has always been one of the main issues and one of the main difficulties people have had. Last year with the RTB, there about 20% of the disputes that went to the RTB involved deposit retention cases. And I suppose what's interesting about that is that in 80% of those cases, the RTB found that the deposit should be refunded to the tenant. So that shows that in the vast majority of cases, the deposits were not retained or not returned, or deductions were made from those deposits that shouldn't have been done.
Okay. Isn't it true that the Residential Tenancies Amendment Bill, it was introduced in December 2015, and it was to include a form of tenancy deposit protection, but nothing was actually ever done about it since?
No, you're absolutely right. It was actually, I suppose, it first raised its head probably in 2011 when it came into the programme for government that a deposit protection scheme was needed and would be introduced. As you mentioned, it was introduced in the legislation. It just hasn't, it hasn't been up and running. It's there in legislation. It's good to go. It just hasn't been enacted.
Yes, exactly. And there are actually deposit protection schemes already in place in the likes of the UK, New Zealand and Australia. Would that be right?
Absolutely. I think, look, a deposit protection scheme is, a fundamental service in any mature private rented market. I was lucky enough over a decade ago myself to be able to go over to the UK and see they have a number of different schemes, but to see one of the deposit protection schemes that they have, and it was quite impressive. Basically, the company that ran the deposit protection scheme, what they found is that the vast majority of disputes could be resolved informally. There were very few cases that needed. I think around only 3% of deposit cases that they dealt with resulted in an actual hearing. And you know, in subsequent years, it has been introduced. It's been introduced in the north. It's been introduced in Scotland. It's been introduced in most jurisdictions. So why not here?
Absolutely. And what's your view in relation to third level students and having a deposit scheme in place? Wouldn't it minimise their exposure, you know, to the likes of fraud, rental scams, and also, I guess, for international students?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a very key point. Is that there, within the private rent sector, a lot of people who are maybe more vulnerable than some others, and you know, many of those are people that are renting for the first time, maybe students or people coming from abroad that don't really know how things work in Ireland, and they are sometimes victims to rental scams. So you know, they're asked to pay over a sum of money, and they often do that without ever meeting the person. They do it, you know, through social media, through websites, whatever, and they're quite sophisticated scams, and they have very little comeback for that. So having something like a deposit protection scheme, you know, where people could deposit the money, that would certainly eliminate a lot of the risk in trying to find accommodation. Like, unfortunately, as we all know, there's a huge demand for accommodation. People are very desperate, and in those situations, unfortunately, there are some people that will prey on people's desperation and vulnerability.
Yes. So tell us about Threshold's petition and your campaign to legislate the scheme. Where can anyone find the link in order to sign it?
Yeah, we have an online petition, so people can access that through our website, threshold.ie. It's nice and simple. People can go on there and find some more information around the scheme. They can get a little bit of the history as well, just to show, you know, how much work has been done over a long period of time in relation to lobbying for this. And look, whilst it's long overdue, hopefully with everyone getting on board and supporting it, that we can get it over the line sooner rather than later.
Okay, so that's www.threshold.ie. Quite simple. Yeah. Okay. Stephen, tell us about Threshold's opinion and response to, you know, the government's budget 2020 in terms of, you know, housing, the homeless crisis, and its effect for anyone renting out there in Ireland.
I suppose you'd be hard pressed to find anything in the budget. You know, that is good news for anyone out there that's renting. Unfortunately, there's very few measures that have been introduced. And bearing in mind that, look, there's one of five homes out there people are renting, that's only going to increase. So I suppose it's disappointing that there, you know, there weren't really any measures to try and help people out there in a rental situation.
Yeah, and since the budget, the numbers now accessing emergency accommodation, it actually has grown considerably, with now one in three children homeless. Would that be right?
Yeah, the you know, we're starting to get used to these monthly reports, which are showing that you know, the numbers of people accessing emergency accommodation are increasing, and most importantly, you know, that in many of those cases it's households with children, and you know that, you know, we're most recently, the same reports, you know, of experiences of, you know, families with children being born into homelessness. And, you know, that's very worrying, because obviously it's worrying for the people in that situation at that time. But I suppose long term, international research shows us that where a person experiences homelessness, they're much greater risk of experiences again throughout their lives. So, you know, much, I know a lot has been done, but much more needs to be done to prevent households from becoming homeless.
Yes, and tell us about Threshold's efforts to seek an increase in the HAP scheme limits, because that's another very important issue, isn't it? Like, I have to say, the current limits appear to be completely out of line with escalating costs of rent.
Absolutely. So, just to give an example of that, so we're seeing the last DAF.ie report, it shows that the average rent in Dublin is over €2,000 for a household, say, with three children. The HAP limit at the moment is €1,300 per month in Dublin. So that's a €700 difference. So if you're on HAP and you're going looking for accommodation, you're not going to be able to get that property for €2,000. So it just shows the gap that is there that needs to be bridged in order to give people a level playing field to be able to access the accommodation, which they unfortunately can't at the moment, and obviously is one of the contributing factors to more and more people presenting homeless services. Local authorities do have discretion. With HAP, they can pay up to 20% on top of those limits, but even with that 20% increase, it's still going to be significantly below the market. Now, I can understand there is an argument that by just increasing the rent limits, it will increase prices further. But I suppose people need somewhere to live. We need to keep people out of homeless services, so we need to do whatever needs to be done in the short term to be able to keep them in their homes or be able to access homes whilst looking for the long-term solutions, ultimately, you know, more social housing for people.
Yes, I guess if they freeze the rent increases and put a cap on it, that might be a solution, wouldn't it?
Well,
and increase the HAP scheme limits at the same time. Make it legislation.
Yes, I suppose we have, yeah, at the moment we're coming up to the third anniversary almost of the introduction of rent pressure zone rules in Dublin, where rents could only increase by 4%. You know, that's having some impact. Most recently, we can see that the average rent increase in Dublin was around 3.9%, but rents are still going up. Inflation is not going up. You know, people's wages aren't going up, but costs are going up and rent is going up. And, you know, that makes it very, very difficult for everyone. And the RBZ rules, while they've taken a little bit of the heat out of the rent increases, like going back before when they came in, we were getting rent increases. People come to us, but, you know, landlord was looking for maybe 20, 30, 40, 50% in some cases. So it has taken those, you know, substantial rent increases out of the market. But people are still facing rent increases. And it's important to bear in mind that when the RPZs were introduced, they were introduced where, you know, the rents were almost at peak. So they were introduced, they set the baseline at a very high level. So the big issue here is, yeah, rent increases are reducing, but they're still increasing. But also they were set at a time when people were stretched in terms of what they could afford. So I think fundamentally we need to look at the affordability of housing, including the cost of renting.
Yes, I understand where you're coming from, Stephen. Overall, how does Budget 2020 fare out compared to Threshold's pre-budget submission?
I suppose, look, our pre-budget submission is available for anyone who wants to look at it on the website, threshold.ie, and it goes into a lot of detail on issues. Unfortunately, a lot of what we've been looking for didn't make its way into the budgetary measures. So I suppose, look, we will continue to raise those issues and we'll, you know, continue to build the case for our submissions and hope that, you know, going forward it does influence government policy and improve the rental sector for everyone out there.
Okay, right, so we leave it at that, Stephen, unless of course there's anything else you'd like to add before we finish.
No, thank you. I suppose we do have another opportunity. Our annual report is being launched on the 4th of December. So again, it's another opportunity for us to highlight all the issues that people have been experiencing throughout the year. And obviously, if I could take the opportunity just to let people know that if they are renting and they do have issues, if they need help, that they can contact us. We have a free phone number. It's 1800 454 454, and they can call out between Monday and Friday from 9 until 9. And hopefully we'll be able to give them the advice and support that they need.
Right. Okay, Stephen, I'll just repeat that for the sake of our listeners. And correct me if I'm wrong, it's 1800 454 54, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, 1800 454 454. Stephen, thanks again for joining us. And we'll talk again soon, hopefully. And all the very best to you and take care.
Thank you.
Now, that was Stephen Large from Threshold. He was talking about their petition for a deposit protection scheme and also about their response to Budget 2020.